Amen. Where shall I be? And I'm glad you're here right now. We can get ready for that great day. Amen. And I believe that the power of God's word will prepare our hearts and minds to be ready. The Lord redeemed us with a great and mighty and powerful salvation. It's still alive today. Amen. And we're going to be hearing the word of God now, and then we're going to have a baptism. I'm always rejoicing when the Lord reaches out and begins to work on someone's heart and draws them out of this world of darkness and into his marvelous light. It's a wonderful time. Amen. Well, I'm just a little excited this morning, as usual, because these are the last days, and I'm beginning to really feel the impact of all of that. I don't know how long the Lord will let this go. I don't know how long it will continue. I don't know how long it can continue if Bill Clinton is reelected, and he probably will be. But it doesn't matter what happens, as long as you have faith in God. Amen. As long as you believe his word. If you believe what you hear and what you read in the word of God, the Lord will direct you. Abraham believed God. It was counted to him for what? Righteousness. And that's precisely what we need, righteousness. Well, anyway, let's begin with prayer. And we're going into Isaiah chapter 30, beginning with verse 19. Father in heaven, we do thank thee, Lord, this day for the call that thou hast put upon our hearts. For we know that we're here this day because thou hast called us. It was not our decision for thee, but thine decision for us. And I pray that thou wouldst strengthen and help us this day, O Lord, as we go into thy word, that thou wouldst give us exceeding great faith and stamina and strength in the Spirit. Give us discernment, O Lord. Let every devil be put to flight. Let every unclean spirit now be bound in the name of the Lord Jesus through the power of thy saving blood. Let thy people have discernment, O Lord. And I pray that thou wouldst lift us up into heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And in thy holy name, even in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask it. Amen. Praise the Lord. In the 30th chapter of Isaiah, we're beginning at the 19th verse. And of course, before that, verses 1 through 18, we know that the Lord was warning his people once again to not be involved with Egypt. If you think back to last Wednesday and I believe even last Sunday, this warning continued from the Word of God, from the Lord Jesus Christ, in the power of the Spirit, continues to us today. We need to be ready and listen, have our ears open, have our hearts and minds open to hear what he's saying. Just as he warned Old Testament Israel, he's warning us today. Do not be involved in Egypt and with Egypt. Now you might say, well, what's Egypt today? It's just a backward, fourth-rate little country over there. But it's not the geographics and it's not the demography of the country that he's talking about. He's rather talking about the spirit of Egypt. The unclean spirits that were at work back there. Did you ever stop to think, where are they today? Whatever happened to the devils that were in Pharaoh? Whatever happened to the devils that were in the heads of state, in the priest of An, and in all the priests of Egypt, and all of their wise men and astrologers and soothsayers? Where are those devils today? Well, I think we have our answer. Just look around wherever you see the symbols of Egypt, the religion of Egypt, and all of these things that are Egyptian in nature, Babylonian in nature, Assyrian, Greek, Roman, Medo-Persian. Any of these ancient idolatries, ancient gods and goddesses, even if they were renamed by the Catholic Church, they're still the same devils. Amen. And they're here with us today. So the warning that God gave to not be involved with Egypt is for us now, in 1996. Now, after the Lord warned his people to not be involved with Egypt, he said he would begin to smite all the idolatry. Let's begin reading at the 19th verse and see precisely what he is saying. For the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee, at the voice of thy cry, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. What's he saying? He's speaking now to a remnant that will not be involved with the idolatry of the world. And you're going to see in a minute how important it is to flee from idolatry. If you were to ask me, what is the number one problem today in churches? I would have to say it's idolatry. People have idols. Some people worship other people. Some people bow the knee and give their heart to other people, or to a religion, or to a system, or to a statue. Have you ever seen that? People bowing the knee. I'll never forget one time when I was in St. Paul. I was at a large cathedral, just walked in there to see what it looked like, and there was a woman crying her eyes out. She had a rosary, and she was walking around that rosary with her fingers. Let her fingers do the walking, see? She was going around that rosary and praying and crying her eyes out in front of this statue of Mary. It was made of stone. It was painted. Very artistic. But it was an idol. And you might say, but it was a religious thing. It was an idol. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything in heaven above or on the earth or under the earth. For I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, he said, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those that hate me, but showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Idolatry will bring the disfavor of God upon people. Now, people like to say, well, the Lord is merciful and he is gracious and he's here to help us, and that's all true. But he said, if you love me, keep my commandments. Amen. And if we set up idols, even if they're invisible to anybody else, if they're in our heart, it's an idol. And it'll bring the disfavor of God. Amen. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Amen. Remember what he said just before that? Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. If you've got more than one God, you've got a false Godhead system. One God. There's only one God. You say, what about Jesus? He was God manifest in the flesh. Amen. You still have one God. He fills the universe, doesn't he? But he was manifest in the flesh. And he came forth into an idolatrous and sinful world. And what we're reading this morning, he told his people long before he ever came and was born of a woman and came into this world. And what held true then, holds true today. Watch what he's saying here. He's saying the time would come when a remnant people would be called together. And I'm going to tell you when that time was. It's when Jesus did come to this world. What power could call the people of God together out of all the sin and all the idolatry and all the confusion of this world? And it is a confusing place, isn't it? And there are numerous ways to sin and to do wrong. And the devil's inventing more of them all the time. And this world is filled with evil. In fact, the Apostle John said, the whole world lieth in wickedness. Do you have any trouble believing that? I had an article sent to me from my friend Bill Rock out in New York, and I read it or referred to it Wednesday night. The United Nations had a special day of atonement that people could go to. The United Nations are going to have a day of atonement. Well, they had it already. I wonder how many of those people walked out of the UN atoned. Huh? Oh, no, they just got more of the same, didn't they? More devils, more evil. When you have an organization that has thrust out Jesus Christ and will not allow his name to be spoken in that building, and then you're going to have a day of atonement? It doesn't take us very long to discern what's wrong with that. Amen. Of course, at the same time that was going on, they had this thing over at the Cathedral of St. John the Divine, where they had all the animals come in and they blessed the animals. Elephants, snakes, dogs, pigs, you name it, reptiles, amphibians, all the different phyla of all the animal kingdom came in, and they blessed, the old bishop was there, and he was blessing all these animals. That's quite a congregation, isn't it? Instead of an amen, you get an oink. Huh? And then when the New Age music started, then they started squealing and barking, and all the animals started going berserk. They like that New Age music too, don't they? Oh. Can you believe such a system as this? You talk about idolatry, it's everywhere. And that's why this world's in trouble. Now, but the Lord said to his remnant, I want to read that verse again, for the people shall dwell in Zion at Jerusalem. Where's Jerusalem? Don't get this confused. It's up there. There is no Jerusalem down here. And it's not even a reasonable facsimile thereof. You know, I hear these people say, let's get up a, not here, but other churches, let's get up a tour and go to the Holy Land. Well, I'd like to see them do that. You're going to look far and wide. There's no Holy Land on earth. Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. There's no Holy Land on this earth. If they're referring to Jerusalem, to Palestine, to Judea, to that whole area over there, that is a God-forsaken land. Oh, this is getting controversial now, isn't it? People have had it drummed into their cranium over and over and over again that that's a holy land. And Jesus said, my kingdom's not of this world. The kingdom of God cometh not with observation, for the kingdom of God is within you. You don't find it on a map. You find it in your heart. And people have to learn that. And in order to have your heart right, you have to have the idolatry out. So he said his people would dwell where? In heavenly places. In the presence of Almighty God. You walk with the Lord and he walks with you no matter where you are. Amen. And he said, thou shalt weep no more. He will be very gracious unto thee at the voice of thy cry. When you're in trouble and you've got a problem, the Lord said, if you cry out to him, he will hear you. Don't listen to what the downer people say. You know, oh, God's going to get you. He's out to get you. You're in trouble. God will get you for it. It's not like that. The Lord is here to help you. And it says, when he shall hear it, he will answer thee. Now, that ought to make you pray. Just that verse alone should be able to rouse you up to where you want to pray. God said, I'll hear you. I'll answer you. That's all fine and good, but when are people going to reach out in prayer and cry out to God? You know, I honestly believe that the opposite of prayer is complaining. So many times people will find what's wrong. Oh, why does the Lord let this happen to me? Why does the Lord let that happen to me? Let's read the next verse. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet shall not thy teachers be removed into a corner any more. But thine eyes shall see thy teachers. He's referring to a time when because of the idolatry, remember Jezebel? What did she do to the prophets of God? She decreed that everyone must die. And they had to hide. They had to go find a place to hide. Even Elijah went to another place. It was bad. Real bad. Whatever happened to the devils in Jezebel, I'm convinced that some of them have taken up residence in Hillary Clinton. At least some of them. That is one of the witchiest women ever lived. All she needs is a pointed hat and a black robe. She doesn't even need that. She has got a lot of wickedness in her. She loves abortion. Thinks it's wonderful. Kill babies. You know, I was talking to Louis before the service, and he reminded me of something. I heard on the radio there's an alligator loose in the Wisconsin River. 4-foot alligator. I'm not quite sure how it got there, but somebody must have put it there. You know, it's amazing how these things happen. But somebody was fishing and snagged it, but it got away. It's the one that got away, you know. 4-foot alligator. Who would ever believe that? I was in the Wisconsin River fishing and caught an alligator almost. But the reason I brought that up is the Department of Natural Resources, the DNR, said that they were inundated with phone calls from people, animal rights people, that they were to send every one of their wardens out, and everybody was supposed to go out and look for this alligator because it won't survive the winter. So they wanted everybody to go out and find that alligator. All that sympathy, all that weeping and tear-jerking sympathy, and they do cry about it, poor alligator in the Wisconsin River. We have to go and save the alligator. And they said the phone was ringing, all the phones are ringing off the hook, all the agencies, everybody was calling in, save the alligator. How about the babies they're butchering all over the place? When you've got a society that is more concerned about an alligator and doesn't care about saving a baby, then you've got insanity. People are absolutely brainwashed. And to just put it bluntly, they're nuts. I don't know how else to say it. Really what it is they're illuminized. Not aluminized, illuminized. Although they are a little metallic, I think. But see, that's the problem. That's just a little example of what's out there. But here we see that the Lord is saying, no more are the teachers going to have to hide in the corner. No more are they going to be exiled. Remember Peter, when Jesus was on trial and how he denied the Lord thrice? He was afraid. All kinds of negative emotions and all kinds of fear welled up in him. And that's why he did it. But on the day of Pentecost, when he was filled with the Holy Ghost, something we all need, and was filled with a boldness from the Almighty, he stood up not only in front of the same crowd that he cowered before previously, but all the others that were there from all different parts of the world. He stood up and he preached Jesus Christ. He also pointed to them and said, "You, by guilty hands, have taken him and crucified him." Pointed the finger right at him. "You did it." Where did he get all this boldness from? He wasn't hiding in a corner now. He stood up in front of the whole bunch and preached and let people know. Isn't that wonderful? Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. A power from on high that they didn't understand. In fact, it shocked the people. 3,000 of them came and repented and were baptized. How do I know they repented? Because that's what Peter told them to do. He said, "Repent." Remember, they were pricked in their hearts. And they said, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" And the answer was very swift and very powerful. And was not what you would hear from a Billy Graham or a Jerry Falwell. Incidentally, Jerry Falwell was recently over in Israel. Flew over there in his personal jet. One of the first things he told the Prime Minister when he was there is, he said, "I wanted to thank you for this jet that you bought for me." Now, why would the Prime Minister of Israel buy a jet for Jerry Falwell? And it was bought with U.S. money, because all the money in the Israeli state comes from the United States. They couldn't exist for 1 week if they are a subsidy. They are an outpost of the Illuminati. You got to understand that. And Jerry Falwell gets along with them just fine. You smell a rat? Huh? There's a lot of rats, really. Because there's so much chicanery going on. And the Lord sees all of this, and he sees the people that are being deceived by the millions. Nevertheless, he has raised up teachers, here and there a few, that will not be in the corner anymore, but rather will have the guts of a lion, if you please, and will tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. And that's exactly what we need. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Furthermore, he said in the 21st verse, speaking to his remnant people, and this ought to get you all excited, "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee." I'm telling you, God's walking with you when you're serving him. And you hear his voice from behind you. So you hear his voice from behind you. "And thine ears shall hear a word behind thee saying, this is the way, walk ye in it. When ye turn to the right hand and when ye turn to the left." The power of God is with you. He will live inside of you. He will speak to you, and you'll hear it from behind you. That's what he's saying here. This is the way. He's guiding you. It's almost as if, did you ever take a little child and they just can't walk straight? They're not going where you want them to go. You're trying to get them to go to their room, maybe. Get them to go to bed. Go to bed. Oh, zip, they go off somewhere else. It's time to go to bed now. Zip, they go off somewhere else. Okay? So what you do is you grab them by the shoulders and you point them toward their room and you march them over there and say, "This is the way, walk ye in it." Right? See, this is what the Bible is saying that the Lord does to us. He pretty much takes us by the shoulders and says, "Now look, this is the way, walk in it. That's not right and that's not right. Here is what is right, walk this way." That's what he said he would do in that day when that would come, when that time would come. And it's here. Now it gets interesting. Verse 22, here's something else the Lord would do with his people. He's going to purge out all the idolatry. Isn't that nice? You might say, "Well, this doesn't pertain to me." I didn't even read it yet. But you might say, "This doesn't pertain to me because I don't have any idols. I don't have any statues in my house." Well, now, I hope when December comes along, you don't run out there with an axe or go out there with your wallet and get one of those trees, those evergreen trees, and cut it down and haul it into your house and put it on a stand and pour water in it so it stays fresh and then decorate it with all kinds of silver and gold. I hope you don't do that because that's an idol. You might say, "But I'm not worshiping Baal. I'm worshiping God. I dedicate the tree to the Lord and hang those gold and silver things on there for the Lord. And he must like that because it's pretty. And, you know, it's something I just like to do." And people make all kinds of excuses, but the Bible says, "Learn not the way of the heathen." Amen. You could say the Lord looks on the heart. And he does. But the Lord also looks at the actions. What are we judged by? Just the thoughts and the intents of the heart? Or are we judged even according to our works? All the works of men shall be brought into judgment. And when something is strictly has its origin strictly in heathenism and in paganism, if you want to know how to decorate your tree this year, I would like to recommend that you go down to Selena Fox, the high priestess of Circle Sanctuary, because she's an expert at it. They decorate their Yule tree, their tree, evergreen tree, just like the other people do. Churches, so-called Christian churches, have picked up the idolatry of the witches. It wasn't done. Could you imagine Paul and Peter and James and John up there hanging these little things up? Or coloring Easter eggs? What do you think the Apostle Paul would think? The man who, when he walked into Athens, was stirred when he saw the city wholly given to idolatry. It shook him up. It stirred him. This is an idol. See, if you go back well, actually forward in your Bible, but hold on to your page. And I know that most of you know this is here. But if you go to Jeremiah 10, he makes it very clear. And I know this is early. It isn't even Halloween yet. Samhain, as the witches call it. But honestly, with a clear mind and with an honest heart, just look at this. The Lord said, "Hear ye the word which the Lord speaketh unto you, O house of Israel. Thus saith the Lord, learn not the way of the heathen." Is that what he said? Notice he doesn't say, don't become a heathen. He says, learn not the way of the heathen. Because if you do what the heathen do, you're a heathen. Hearing these, oh, yep, amen, amen. Yep. If you do the works of a heathen, you are a heathen. It's like the old saying, you've all heard this one, if it walks like a duck and quacks like a duck and looks like a duck, there's a pretty good chance it's a duck. Right? Of course, now the way they're mutating things out there, you don't know anymore. Learn not the way of the heathen, and be not dismayed at the signs of heaven, meaning the astrology. For the heathen are dismayed at them. In other words, they calculate their days by the stars, by the sun, moon, and stars. They get this all set up. It comes along, then they start doing these different heathen activities. Why are people celebrating Halloween? Why do the witches celebrate it? They celebrate Halloween because they believe that Baal, the sun god, goes down into the netherworld for 6 months. And that's why the days get shorter and shorter and shorter and shorter. And there's more darkness. And that's why Benjamin Franklin, good old Benjamin Franklin, you know, the penny saved, penny earned guy. Ben Franklin innovated daylight savings time because he was a Rosicrucian and a member of the Hellfire Society in Boston and Philadelphia. And in addition to that, he wanted to do honor to the sun god, Baal, part of their religion. So in May, just before May 1st, Beltane, when the sun god would rise up into the sky and the days would get longer, they added to daylight by moving everything an hour ahead. Very clever of old Ben, wasn't it? And then around Halloween time, they move it back because the sun god goes down into the netherworld. And you've got churches having Halloween parties. It is witchcraft, nothing but witchcraft. And all of it is geared around astrology, and it's full of devils. There, that takes care of the trick-or-treating. I don't think I even have to tell about the Druidism and all those things involved, but it is not Christian. Cannot be made Christian. For the customs of the people are vain. For one cutteth a tree out of the forest, the work of the hands of the workmen with the axe. They deck it with silver and with gold. They fasten it with nails and with hammers that it move not. What are they doing? Putting up a tree in the house. What are they doing with it? Decorating it with silver and gold. Now, what's the difference whether the witches do it or you do it? The intent of the heart, the action's the same. And the Lord said, don't do it, period. Amen. People can make all the excuses they want. It comes out the same, doesn't it? Now, let's read this verse. And I want to tell you the upside to this is if you obey God, you'll be so greatly blessed that you'll be overwhelmed. If you don't, you will have trouble because he loves you. Verse 22. Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. There goes the ornaments. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence. And the Lord uses this terminology because there's probably nothing more obnoxious than a menstruous cloth. Let's just call it like it is. I work at a university where we have, in some of the residence halls, the girls will just throw these things all over the place. Yeah. And it's obnoxious. Incredibly obnoxious. You know, and you just want to put on a special suit and a 10-foot... Of course, I don't work in maintenance. I feel sorry for these people that they got to wear these gloves and get shots and all this stuff and work around this kind of a thing. But the Lord looks at idolatry as an idol, as a menstruous cloth. Let's be shocked a little, okay? Some people might, and when I was a little boy, I used to just sit around the tree, you know, look at the presents and look at the glitter and all the stuff on the tree and sit there, and I was overwhelmed by it and loved it. Turn the lights off so the tree lights are brighter. Now I look at it as a menstruous cloth. Get that thing out of here, that evil, wicked, witchy thing. I don't want it. What changes a person? The Spirit of God. Amen. The Lord said, "Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images." Whether you've got a statue you worship, or whether you've got a tree you put up, or Easter eggs that you color, or all these different holidays that have come in to cement idolatry in people. And that's why they have them. To make sure that there's a continuity in idolatry. All right? I hope this is getting through. And he said, "Ye shall defile also the covering of thy graven images of silver and the ornament of thy molten images of gold. Thou shalt cast them away as a menstruous cloth. Thou shalt say unto it, get thee hence." Then, what happens if you do that? If all the idols are gone, "then shall he give the rain of thy seed, that thou shalt sow the ground withal, and bread of the increase of the earth. And it shall be fat and plenteous. In that day shall thy cattle feed in large pastures." What's that a sign of? Prosperity, right? How many times I hear people say, "I work and I work and I work and my wife works and we got 2 jobs and 3 jobs and we still can't make ends meet." And they've got idolatry. Get rid of it. You don't need it. It isn't even any fun. You know what happens in December? More people kill themselves in that month than any other month. They sell more liquor than any other month. There are more troubles, more violent acts, more wife beating, more of every kind of evil you can think of in December. Why? God is saying, "Hey, there's something wrong here. You've got idols. Give them up." We're starting early this year, huh? Prosperity will come upon people who are obedient. What's wrong with our country? Why is everything so bad out there? And it is. It's worse than you think because they're not telling you the truth anyway. That national debt they give you is not right. And you can figure it out yourself if you want to. There's a little formula I can show you sometime to find the real national debt. We were out in New York. I don't recall the street we were on. I think we were on 42nd when we saw this. There is a building right near Times Square. And it's a big, there's a big sign. Do you ever see these signs that light up and spell out words? We've all seen those. Words and numbers. There's a big sign up there, and it shows the national debt. And it shows your share of it. It was your share, everybody in here, every child, man, woman, and child, $7,000-some-odd that you owe. But anyway, it shows it increasing. It doesn't just display it like that. It shows it increasing. Did you ever put gas in your car and just pull the nozzle full blast and see the numbers flicker? That's how it was flickering up there. That's how fast it's increasing. The increase on the interest on the national debt is in excess of $25,000 per second. How'd you like to have a bill like that to pay? It's gaining on you, right? Why are we having this trouble? Why is it that the crops are failing nationwide? Most of the bees have been wiped out. A lot of other critters out there are mutated. And there were major crop failures this year. Now, they didn't tell you a whole lot about that yet, but you'll notice things are going up. Milk is going way up. Bread is going to be going way up. Everything's going way up because of the crop failures. You know why? There is a curse on this country because of idolatry. And people just haven't awakened to that. One of the reasons they haven't awakened is because they're sitting in churches this morning that tell them nothing. And so they don't see the need to pray. They live in prosperity. The land of the free and the home of the brave. Where we have absolute freedom to do and say anything that we want. I think pretty soon they'll have a license for breathing. And if you don't have a license to breathe, they'll off you. I know that sounds far-fetched, but sometimes I wonder. The president that we have didn't get his way in a lot of things. One of the things that he wants to do is put a tax on your house for the rental value of it, even though you're living in it. Did you hear about that one? No, I'm not mistaken. You got it right, and I've got it right. What he said he wanted to do is, if you live in a house, and you could rent that house for, say, $500 a month, then it has a rental value of $500 a month, therefore it should be taxed on the rental value, even though you live in it and are not renting it and couldn't rent it because you're living in it. The value of the rental is still there, so you wanted to tax the value of the rental. Oh, we're in for a lot of that. And people are so upset now with the Republican Party that what could very easily happen is a big influx of Democrats back in there. Now, they're all cut out of the same cloth, but they have a little different philosophy because they're wound up like that. They're robotoids. I mean, they're all set up like that. But what could happen is Bill Clinton could have a whole passel of Democrats come in and then bring a lot of this stuff into law. And the liberalism of the 60s will seem like nothing. In fact, people have been programmed in the 60s. And with the music, with the system that was then, they got all this Beatles music and all these other groups, all of that stuff has been put into their minds and has done a job on them. The adults right now that are pretty much running the country have been programmed back in the 60s. Waiting for this illuministic trigger to be pulled, as it were, so they can interact with what they were programmed to do. Sound far-fetched? I hope you don't think so. Because people are responding right now. Look how tolerant society has become. People can seem to think they can do anything they want. As far as morality, God hasn't changed. And we are living in a generation that is the last generation because it is a programmed one. As a matter of fact, Paul Simon told us all about it a long time ago in his song Sounds of Silence, because he talked about a vision that was planted in his brain that still remains. Huh? How about that song that tells of all the people in one place, a generation lost in space? Do you ever listen to some of the words of these songs? I'll tell you, they've done a number on us. But the Lord has called a remnant people out and has told them, leave it alone, follow me. This is the way, walk ye in it. Don't turn to the right or the left. Keep going. God is showing us the exit. I've seen the exit sign, how to leave the wickedness of this world. Amen. So he goes on and he tells about the prosperity that's possible if you'll throw the idolatry out. The oxen likewise, verse 24, the young asses that ear the ground shall eat clean provender, which hath been winnowed with the shovel and with the fan. There shall be upon every high mountain and upon every high hill rivers and streams of waters in the day of the great slaughter when the towers fall. Boy, they're going to fall. Moreover, the light of the moon shall be as the light of the sun, and the light of the sun shall be sevenfold as the light of 7 days. In the day that the Lord bindeth up the breach of his people and healeth the stroke of their wound. I want to tell you this, that in this time, if you want to call it the Christian era, since Jesus came the first time, since he suffered and died and was buried and rose again, a great light has shined forth. He is the Father of lights. Amen. James tells us, a great light has shined forth. What did Jesus say when he came? And he saw the people in gross darkness that had filled the land. They that sat in darkness saw great light. A light that outshines the sun. Remember the Apostle Paul on the road to Damascus? When he was knocked down, there was a light brighter than the sun. And he heard the voice of Almighty God saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? Remember John, as he stood on the Isle of Patmos, he was exiled. They didn't know what to do with him. He didn't fit into their system. He didn't play their game. He was in Rome, but he wasn't doing as the Romans did. And they put him out on an island called Patmos, an island overrun with wild beasts. He was left there to die. But he said, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day. And heaven opened to him. And he saw the Lord, and his face was so bright, it was like as the sun shineth in its strength. This is the light he's talking about here. Now, you don't necessarily see this with your eyes, but there is a great light of Almighty God that we can look to because we're walking in the light. That means we understand. There's wisdom from above. You're not hoodwinked like the Masons are. You're not fooled by the things of this world. You can see through them. And don't take credit for yourself. It's a gift of God. He gives you the ability to see. But I believe that this light now shines upon us. And when you get to the end of the world, then everybody's going to see the brightness of it. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh from far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue as a devouring fire. Now, God loves his people. He is leading us, and he is helping us, and he's going to take us through everything we need to go through. And you have to have faith and trust in him and understand that. But upon those that continually insult him, hate him, rebel against him, try to become their own gods, set up their own system, their own churches, their own government, their own way of doing things, and completely eliminating God from their thoughts, did not like to retain him in their knowledge, as it says in Romans 1. For them, the burden is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue is a devouring fire. What does the Bible say in Revelation 19? A great sword proceedeth out of his mouth, causing them to err. All right, what do we have with this? Is he not sifting the nations right now? The nations are being sifted. Furthermore, a system is in place that is causing people to err. a bridle in their jaws. You know what happens when you put a bridle in a horse's mouth? You turn the horse, can't you? And the horse will obey you. You got him bridled. There is a bridle in the jaws of the people, causing them to err, to do one wrong thing after another, make one bad decision after another. Haven't you ever wondered why? They have bridles in their jaws. That means they're being controlled. But as far as God's people are concerned, notice how he goes back and forth here. He'll say, I will bless you and you'll have prosperity and everything will be wonderful. But then he'll go to say, the nations are being sifted. My judgment is heavy upon them. And now he comes back and says, ye shall have a song. Isn't that wonderful? Ye shall have a song as in the night, when a holy solemnity is kept. Do you enjoy that time of the night when it's finally time to turn the lights off and you can lay down and rest? People that are evil and have done evil things, said evil words, thought evil thoughts, and live in evil, don't sleep well. That's why they sell so much of this over-the-counter drug or various drugs to put you to sleep. And people are trying all kinds of things. They try New Age music, anything that where they have to strive to get sleep. I believe that God's people sleep very well at night. Because the Lord said, ye shall have a song as in the night. While all the nations are being sifted and all this nonsense is going on out there, the Lord gives you a song in the night. When a holy solemnity is kept. That is a very precious and holy and wonderful time when you can put your head down on your pillow and rest in the Lord. And have peace in your heart. Know that you're right with Him. That's worth everything. Amen. It's a holy solemnity. There's a blessing in it. You know, I many times, as I think about the things of God, begin to meditate. You know, it's a good way to fall asleep. Think about the things of God, things He's doing, things He's said. And then you're kind of half asleep and half awake. You're just kind of heading into that realm of sleep. Sometimes I can very clearly hear His voice telling me things. And that's a good time because your mind is shut out from the world. You're falling asleep, so you're not thinking about all kinds of other things. You're not distracted, and the Lord can speak to you. And He does. Scripture says there'd be that voice. We'll hear a voice behind us. And it's a good time. Some people might say, you're crazy, you know, you're hearing things. No, the Lord is very real. And He does speak to His people. Ye shall have a song as in the night when a holy solemnity is kept and gladness of heart, as when one goeth with a pipe to come into the mountain of the Lord, to the mighty one of Israel. In other words, to play music and to worship Him. And the Lord shall cause His glorious voice to be heard, and shall show the lighting down of His arm with the indignation of His anger, and with the flame and a devouring fire, with scattering and tempest and hailstones. So what's the Lord going to show you? What's He going to reveal to you? The end is upon us. But it's the beginning, a new beginning for His people, for those that He has redeemed. Why would anybody want to be in the realm of the wicked, enjoying the pleasures of sin that are only for a season, but leave nothing but heartache and misery and hell afterward? Why would people want that? They're deceived, and the preaching of the gospel ought to break that deception and scatter it. And here the Lord will tell you, and He'll reaffirm it in your own mind. That's what's wonderful about this. You can hear some teacher or preacher tell you about it. Or you can read it in the Bible. But when you lay down and you begin to contemplate these things and think about it and pray and call upon the Lord, He'll speak to your heart. For through the voice of the Lord shall the Assyrian be beaten down, which smote with a rod. What does the Assyrian represent? Both the religion and the restrictive, tyrannical government. Amen. And in every place where the grounded staff shall pass, which the Lord shall lay upon him, it shall be with tabrets and harps, and in battles of shaking will he fight with it. Do you see, the Lord is fighting for you. And when he breaks forth upon the enemy, you'll know it. You know how to be free? I'll tell you how to be free. The Bible tells you how to be free. It says that if the Lord made you free, then what? Then you're free indeed. The Apostle Paul was wearing chains, but he was the man who said, "Stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made you free, and be not entangled again in the yoke of bondage." Amen. The Word of God is powerful, and it comes forth, and it'll do a job. Amen. Remember Felix the governor? The governor. Paul began to reason with him. Paul put him on trial. He reasoned with him of righteousness and temperance and judgment to come. And the Bible says Felix trembled. That's the Word of God. That's the power of the Word. Because when God's in it, He'll come forth, as it says here, with a shaking will He fight it. Fight with it. I have seen people literally shake when you give them the Word of God. Remember Belshazzar? His knees began to knock together. Huh? When the handwriting was on the wall. Well, the handwriting is on the wall. And there is going to be a great shaking. There's going to be a lot of knees knocking together when the Lord comes. And all the haughtiness of man is brought down. Last verse tells us, verse 33, for Tophet, you might say, what's that? I'll tell you in a minute. For Tophet is ordained of old, yea, for the king it is prepared. He hath made it deep and large. The pile thereof is fire and much wood. The breath of the Lord, like a stream of brimstone, doth kindle it. This is the prophet Isaiah speaking here. Tophet was the valley of Hinnom, south of Jerusalem. It was a place where you burned garbage. That's where you burned garbage. A garbage dump. And here the Bible says, it is prepared for the king. Ruth? Right. It was called the Valley of Tophet because that alluded to the fact that when they would offer their children there, which is just another form of abortion, really, except it's right after they're born. What's the difference? A couple of minutes, right? But they would throw their children to the fire, to the gods and goddesses that they worshipped. And in order to drown out the frenzied noise that would be there and to kind of set the ambience of the whole thing, they would take drums, large drums, and beat upon them. There'd be hundreds of drums beating in the Valley of Tophet while they were burning these people. It was an awful, awful place. And the Lord said He was going to throw the king there. That's prepared for the king. In other words, the one in charge. The leadership of this world, if the people are not following God, the leadership is not following God, then it's not of God. Now, God may put that leadership in place because of the people, but for something to be of God, it has to be a godly system. And that's where people get Romans 13 all confused, too. Amen. So where do we stand? Well, you're on one side of the fence or you're on the other. Either you're part of the problem or you're part of the answer. Either you are living for God or you're following the works of the Antichrist. What will it be? If you hear the Lord's voice calling out to you, if the Lord's reaching out to you, then answer it. I remember one of the first jobs I had in a large hardware company in Appleton. The vice president issued a memo saying, when the phone rings, answer it. He was aggravated because the phone had rang and rang and people were wandering around not even answering the phone. Answer it! I'll just throw that in here. It bugs me too when the phone rings and nobody gets it. I suppose everybody else thinks everybody else is going to get it. Everybody thought nobody was going to pick it up. Nobody did. So, But if the Lord's calling to you, answer Him. If you feel Him drawing you, get down on your knees and pray. Pour your heart out to Him and you'll find He's real. He's there. He's ready to help you. Can you believe that? Amen. Darlene? It could very well happen, sure. Mm-hmm. You see, it doesn't have to be that way, but some people only learn the hard way, especially teenagers. I got three chuckles, but no amens. The reason teenagers learn the hard way is they think they know everything already, and it's hard to tell them they don't. But as they grow older, they find out how little they know. And how smart their parents were. We've been through it. What you're doing doesn't work. Give it up. Right? But no, they just got to do it. So they learn the hard way. Well, hopefully they learn. But if people live for God, do what they ought to do, the hand of the Lord is there to protect you and to help you. People that dabble in idolatry a little or just take a night off from serving God, just a little backsliding wouldn't hurt now, would it? When you have that kind of mentality, then there's problems. There's nothing more contemptible than backsliding. So tie a knot and hang on because there's not much time left. I guarantee you that right now. We are right down to the wire. Serve God with all the heart, soul, mind, and strength. We know all these things. To whom much is given, much shall be required. So let's act upon all of this. And we have a young man with us who is going to act upon his faith. The Lord has been dealing with his heart. And he's been here a number of times. I appreciate his zeal for wanting to do this. He's going to be baptized in Jesus' name. And I think I'll have everybody stand and we'll have Kevin come on up. And you can gather around the front here.